Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with Hero.loan. Did you know that service members are 23% more likely to carry credit card debt? Serving in the military is one of the most courageous things you can do. There is no reason for any of our military, active or retired, to be living paycheck to paycheck. At Hero.loan, you can cash out 100% of your home's appraised value, and we close VA loans in 14 days. Hero.loan, the only way to VA. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug on 590 The Fan
and
InsideSTL.com.
And Mom won't watch the news at night. There's too much stuff that's making her cry.
Doug, it's fitting. Let it breathe.
It's probably appropriate today.
Tim, you do look cute today. Do you think I look cute today?
Is that coming from inside the building?
Is that intern Brad?
Well, I guess it could be.
He's from the 502. Is he on the 502, Brad?
I don't know.
Sorry, the 502? What's 502, Plowhawk? I know you study area codes.
Louisville, I believe.
Where?
Louisville, I believe.
Yeah.
What is it? It's coming from Louisville.
Get the podcast up now, Leatherface.
Oh, no.
Butterface?
Leatherface.
Oh. You don't think Iggy's a butterface,
No,
do you?
I think Iggy has a beautiful face. But I'll tell you this. Let me tell you this. I don't get out much.
Yeah.
But I saw the word last night.
You saw the word?
Yes, indeed.
You saw a lot of beautiful women.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I've always thought there's a lot of beautiful women in St. Louis.
Holy moly. Yeah. Last night was... Wow. And to think they all were curious.
They weren't curious. They were curious if the Blues were going to win. I think that's where the curiosity would have ended. Mm.
Guys, what's Brad's girth sitch? Thanks, boy milf.
Boy, we're going right after him now.
Well,
he mentioned his name, and here they come.
Brad, if you think I look cute, just come in here and say it. Don't text in from a Louisville number, from a Louisville burner.
He's trying to hide the account.
You can text in Design Air Heating and Cooling, 855-CUB-TALK. DesignAirService.com. Email in, Hotshots email today. Call in, 855-282-8255. Ryan Kelly, Doug. He's the one who makes it possible. It was great to spend yesterday with Ryan Kelly. He's first class, and I believe he's the title sponsor. Yes, I just confirmed it. He is the title sponsor of the show.
Yes, he's a fellow they call the home loan expert. All of his people fall under that home loan expert umbrella, but he would be the home loan expert proper. You know, home purchases are red hot right now. Houses are moving fast. It's never been more important to make sure you're working with a strong mortgage lender. Get yourself pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. Let Ryan Kelly and his team show you how to do that. A lot of times you work right there with Ryan. He's just everywhere. When the home loan expert pre-approves a borrower, he goes through their credit with them to make sure they're aware of everything that's there. And if he can catch somebody, oh, let's say 30 or 60 days before they make that home purchase, he might be able to get their credit score up 20 or 30 points by doing very little. Then you get a much better rate and better terms. If you need a mortgage, get it with the best. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com. Whether you need an original mortgage or if you're going to refinance, which I have done twice through Ryan Kelly, refinance, take a little bit of money out, lower your payments, maybe get away from that 30-year mortgage, cut it down to 20 or 15, save tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Let Ryan Kelly show you how to do that. They've got that 5-minute loan approval online. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month refinancing or buying a home. Apply online today at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Great weekend. Cardinals swept, Blues lose, and I'm outbid for the fourth time on a house that I offered $20,000 over asking price for. Did I mention I blew the engine in my car as well? I need a sympathy bang from Doug. That's the hipster of Tower Grove South.
Tommy Hamilton has been suspended. Jeez, I wonder why he didn't get the house. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. The neighbor said, don't accept this guy's money.
Oh, even is that what it was? Even it was if he HOA
goes,
deal?
Right. Even if he goes $20,000 over the asking price because, you know, there goes the neighborhood. Tommy Hamilton got himself suspended a period of 2 days' time. Hot Shots will take care of the log you'll for us.
Not in the mood for it today, Bootface. Upload the mother effing podcast to the 618.
Iggy, what have you been doing that have angered all these people?
Nothing. Maybe that's what angers them.
How long does it take to upload a podcast?
Is that I'm sure it's up.
How long would it take, though? A fella to do that.
Maybe a minute.
I'll tell you what, the want-to level kind of simmers down a little bit once you see all the text, so it might take longer.
So you intentionally don't put it up to this on the text?
I don't have anything to do with the podcast.
I am looking at my podcast, and I see that this is up on iTunes at the very least.
Yeah, of course it is.
And a new Casey classic, Ziggy, with Chris Cornell in studio. That's a show that we're big fans of, for the record. So yes, the podcast is up. Guys, did I just hear you have an intern? What grunt work is left after smashing buttons, booking bloated porn stars nobody cares about, and ripping off merchandise ideas? Thanks. That's from Recaps. Always a critic of the producing staff here. Timmy Recaps.
It wasn't a particularly positive text.
Yeah. Which bloated porn star we had on the air? Point one out, and I'll apologize.
Kitten Natavadad was kind of bloated.
We cut off the age limit at 70.
Yeah, Brad got me to watch me throw out some spoiled food that was in the fridge, and that has left quite a smell.
What happened to your Plowhawk? I don't know what you're talking about.
There was some spoiled...
So Brad, the intern, says to you, hey, there's some spoiled food in the refrigerator.
No, I discovered that when I was putting my yogurts and Coca-Cola cans in there early this morning. The scent was just... It was unbelievable. It was something I've never smelt before.
What was in there?
It was just some assorted meats and looked like a green bean salad. Or,
that sounds horrible.
I mean, the
something
smell.
Something happens here over the weekend. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, there's a metal chair we keep right out here on the porch that we'll sit in when we go out
there
and smoke.
We do have a patio.
Somehow the metal chair is like in the parking lot facing the street. Like somebody decided.
Like ghosts come and just rearrange things and bring in meats.
Like somebody
and green bean casserole.
You know what? I don't want to sit up here on the porch area. I'm going to put it down in the parking lot and face the street and sit. What goes on around here?
I don't know.
I took Jameson up here while I worked out, brought him up here. They have a little kids area and they watch the Tykes while their parents work out. And I'm like, oh, he's never been in the studio. Maybe I'll stop by. But it was Saturday, and I was scared to death to bring him in to see what was going to happen
on Saturday.
So I'm just like, maybe I'll take him up during the week sometime. Guys, if people are using secondary podcast apps like CastBox, it can take longer since their refreshes are on a schedule. Stop complaining. Hashtag Team Iggy. That's from Danny Tanner. How about that,
Tansy?
Well, I appreciate that, Danny. But again, I have nothing to do with the podcast.
Well, you upload it.
So whether it's
your
up or not up, I don't. Tell me to put it up.
Seems like that's your responsibility.
And Pete knows what he's doing. And when they say it's not up, I'm sure it's up. You just want to bitch.
But couldn't you do that instead of Pete? Wouldn't that make that easier for Pete?
In what way? So Pete can just come out do nothing?
Oh, damn.
Gina's home?
That's correct.
No, but I mean, that's what... Pete is back there. He's in charge of the podcast and the show notes. So if I did the podcast, then...
Well, I thought it only took like a
minute. I've never had a really great work ethic.
Doug, Buffalo Wild Wings tweeting out, did you see that?
I did. They took a shot at the Blues, didn't they?
No, at STL Today.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. They, hey, at STL Today, need a beer. That was Buffalo Wild Wings in reference to the STL Today.
Yeah.
Gaffe, or the Post-Dispatch gaffe, congratulations. That happened here in 2002. The ownership of the station in 2002. So you're talking about five ownership groups ago. The Post-Dispatch ran a congratulations from KFNS on winning the Super Bowl the morning after the Rams lost to the Patriots.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Maybe you save all that until the game is over. Don't even write it up. Don't even send it to them.
And Buffalo Wild Wings should not be tweeting that out.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I think Ben Fred took a shot at him. He responded, I think, in one of their texts something about, give me a wings place that don't serve wings that taste like cardboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because my response would be, I would like another bill while you replace my order for the wings you messed up. Every time I've gone there, I've been a disappointment. So they can go to hell.
Wow. I mean, what does that do to the local franchisee owners who have their Buffalo Wild Wings and the parent company or the parent guy tweeting is taking shots?
I legitimately don't get that. Like, as a corporation, like, it's like if it's like your dog avataring it, okay, fine, whatever. But as a corporation, like, what's the point of that?
You never know what's real or if somebody...
No, I'm looking at the account.
Made it phony.
I'm looking at the account. just an odd deal. That doesn't affect me in any particular way, but just to, like, if I had, you know, a nice percentage of stock in Buffalo Wild Wings, I'd be like, what in the hell are we doing here with our Twitter guy? You know, who's this guy? Like some 21-year-old Bruins fan?
You think you picked up customers with that, or maybe lost pretty much everybody with that?
You'll lose customers. I mean, look at, if they think Twitter doesn't make a big deal, look at Portnoy when he did his pizza review. I forgot which one. I think it was Dewey's. And the one he did before that, maybe it was Pie Pizza. Somebody went in there and the girl said, since he did that review, we were out the door with people buying pizza because of him. So, I mean, Twitter works. And if you're going to trash St. Louis and you're a big company like that, well, pay the consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bizarre one. Why a company that depends on customers to walk into their store is going to take shots at us?
Brian Henschen texting in, that was the tweet they chose to promote, too. Brilliant marketing, Brian Henschen.
Not that brilliant, I don't believe.
Hench was in town this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't a lemming thing. That was a...
Yeah, that's what we used to hit when he'd walk in the studio.
It's the Johnny Landoff Chevrolet Studios. Cam Jansen going to join us coming up on the STL. TaxLawyer.com, Captain's Log. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet at Highway 270 in the Washington Elizabeth exit. Online at Landoff.com. Chevy, find new roads. Anna Marie got her car from Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Why don't you support our sponsors as well, if you would, especially our studio sponsor, Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Man, they love the St. Louis Blues.
I saw them last night.
Oh, did you see the Landoffs?
I did see the Landoffs.
Did you see Sam?
I saw
him. You did?
I saw two of the boys and Johnny himself.
Because Sam has a postseason record that makes him not go to games.
Oh, well, I saw two. I guess maybe I didn't see Sam. I saw two other sons.
He said he is so superstitious at this point, he will not go.
Oh, well, that's crazy. I hate it. I don't want people to do that to themselves.
Announcing the Johnny Landoff Chevrolet TMA Loyalty Program and the Free Dotum Defense Fund. Any listener of TMA who supports our studio sponsor and purchases a vehicle from Johnny Landoff is eligible for $500 toward the purchase of a new or used vehicle. Just ask for Johnny III or Chip, the new car manager, when calling or visiting the dealership and mention Free Dotum. Plus, if you mention that you heard about Johnny Landoff Chevrolet on TMA, not only will you get $500 toward the purchase of a new or used vehicle, a portion of the sale will go toward Deke Dotum's legal fees to help end a suspension. That's really a good cause.
It isn't.
Johnny Landoff still needs used cars. They have a buyback program. So even if you're not going to get a car from Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, they will buy your vehicle even if you do not purchase a vehicle from them. You might be surprised at how much they will offer you for your vehicle. They are buying all makes and all models. Johnny Landoff Chevrolet, Highway 270, Washington Elizabeth exit, online at Landoff.com. And it is our pleasure to welcome to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, ladies and gentlemen, the great Cam Jansen. Cam, how are you feeling this morning?
Well, I was hoping I was just stumbling home, you know, if everything was going to go accordingly last night. I was probably just getting in and getting set up and have a cup of coffee and then talk to you boys. But that didn't go down the way we wanted it to. That was very, very deflating and depressing. But on the whole, I don't think they played horrible. You know, I thought that they had some chances at the beginning. Tuukka Rask was unbelievable. Then you take that 5-on-3, Marchand scores from the goal line, although a very good shot. Benner's having trouble on that side lately, a little bit here and there, but he usually fixes things right away. So, look, man, we're going to Game 7. There's going to be watch party all over the place. Businesses are going to make money. And I just read Twitter a little bit. Intern Maddie, one of my little interns, he said every single – oh, God, no, I forgot it. I'm going to have to look back on Twitter. Damn it, I was going to re-pump his tires up. They had a great tweet. But the bottom line is the lowest of the lows this year are always followed – by the highest of the highs. And that made complete sense to me. And I think we're going to go up there and we're going to win a dirty road game like we've done all playoffs.
A dirty road game? Like
dirty,
get something done in the greasy areas?
Yes.
They got to figure out the power play, though. They have chances on the power play. They just can't really get anything going.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give credit to Boston a little bit, too. I mean, they're great. I mean, Chara's still putting sticks in lanes and doing his thing with his big body. I know they're trying to kick it down low a lot. It's just not working. We are getting chances here and there, but just not, we're kind of one and done. Usually there's not just a plethora of shots where Tuukka's got to get up and down and over and side by side. That's how you're going to have to score on them, or one goes off the ass. I mean, he made an unbelievable save. Or that was Petrangelo, had a backhand top shelf, kind of hits off the post, hits off his back. and he turns around, he makes a great save on it. Charlie Markovic got a stick on that and batted it out, kind of like Colt Franco's been doing. So we had chances. Were we physical last night? Nah. I think we played a little timid going in. 50-50 battles, we're losing. It just kind of started going downhill after that second goal, especially a little later in the game. Just completely deflating. And Timmy, you're talking about being there. I mean, that place was so jam-packed. Yeah. The whole city was so jam-packed. And for you were just craving that high. You're craving that explosion of emotion that we just haven't – we were anticipating all damn day for 2 or 3 days, whatever the case is, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. But
game 7's around the corner.
That was so deflating, especially versus the anticipation. I want to go through a few different elements of this thing. Because the Blues did have opportunities early on, even on the first penalty, O'Reilly almost had another shorthanded goal back-to-back games. He almost scored shorthanded. It didn't go. And then seconds later, he's got the delay game penalty, and he knew, just like everybody in the building, that was going to be very difficult to navigate a 5-on-3 against that power play. But let's start with the Shen penalty. What did you think of... I think we would all agree that it was a penalty, but what did you think of what went on that play, Cam?
Well, he just was—he was damped up. Braden Shin's one of my favorite players on the team, if not my absolute favorite player on the team. It's just the way he plays, his energy—he hits like a truck. He's got skill. He's a leader. You know, he always says the right thing. He does the right thing. Saw his brother last night, actually. God, he's a monster! Holy cow! But on that play in particular, he just went in hard. But he hit him from behind. You know, is there going to be a hearing? Nah. He kind of spun off of him, but he hit him from behind a little bit. You just got to eat up on those plays. And look, the refs, again, I've said this a million times, they're not necessarily calling the hitting penalties at all. But if you hit numbers or any – if you clip guys and hit numbers, I mean, that's they have to call that, whether you're injured or not. And that was just one of those things. Do I blame him for that? No. He's going in hard on a forecheck, but then it leads to Petro turning the puck over, which leads to Ryan O'Reilly putting it over the glass, which he really never does. It just kind of flipped up on him, just like that breakaway flipped up on him at the end where he probably would have scored top shelf on Tuukka there.
Do you think Game 7, the refs might put the whistles away and allow the Blues to play their physical game again without concern about going in the box every 2 minutes?
Yeah, but they only got a couple last night. I mean, they only got – how many penalties did we get last night? Two? You know, but we weren't – we weren't playing physical, but I think, Doug, sorry to answer your question, absolutely, I think they're just going to let it go, play, and just go toe-to-toe and see what happens. And you know what? I look at it like if I'm a ref and I'm in Game 7, I'm letting, I mean, every unless it directly affects a goal, I mean, right in the slot where you two-hand a guy stick out, something like that. And if things are getting out of control, you warn the players, then you skate over to each bench and you look at Craig Berube and you go, hey, enough's enough. Put the sticks down. Da, 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 da. I warned you. I warned him. Next time I'm calling it. Then you skate over to Bruce Cassidy. Hey, da, 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 da. Boom, boom, boom. I'm calling it. And now they know. And it's like, okay, who's going to be the dumbass to do the little extra and take a penalty? Who's the dumbass of the group here? You know, so you kind of put the onus on the players again. The ref warns everybody. That's old school. That's how I would ref and kind of go from there. But unless there's – somebody has a direct play to score a goal, it's got to be pretty hardcore for me to call a penalty in Game 7 up in Boston there.
And so therefore, now maybe I'm wrong on this, Cam, but I think that benefits the Blues.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and so let's take a look at Game 7 against Dallas, the only other Game 7 we've seen so far from the Blues standpoint, and they absolutely dominated them. Now, granted, it of course had to go to double overtime, but as far as the way that the game was played, they outplayed the hell out of them, and I just think it benefits the Blues in a big way that it's a Game 7 that I just don't think they're going to be calling many penalties. Now, I could be wrong, but that's my opinion on it.
Timmy, I completely agree with you on that. And you know what? Missing Barbie hurt. I mean, he's that good. He's not flashy, or maybe, you know, people over in Montana don't know who he is, but the dude is really good, and he knows how to get in, disrupt, make plays, and force turnovers and hit. And we missed that presence from him last night, and we'll be able to get him back. Do I think Sammy Blais had a great game? Not really, Not really. He wasn't catching anybody with hits.
You think he's out or Thomas is out in game seven?
Thomas didn't do a damn thing either. But and when they're both on, I mean, obviously Rob Thomas can completely control a game, but Sammy Blade does his own thing and is effective in his own way too. So that's going to be a tough decision. I think they both didn't have their best last night. Sammy Blade behind the net, I believe on the third goal, he tried to brace himself for a hit, lost 50-50 battle. They kicked it to the front right over to Pasta, and he goes top cheese on him. Bennington had no chance, nobody in front. That's not good. You got to win that battle. You got to protect the puck better. Yeah, I know you have to take a hit there, Sammy, but stick your ass out, protect the puck, and then make a play on it. But little things like that, you make a mistake, they're gonna put it in the back of the net. They're that good.
How did Robert Thomas look to you?
I didn't notice him.
Yeah, he was kind of silent, wasn't he?
I mean, I didn't notice him. I didn't notice that, you know, even that line, I think Bozy had a couple chances here and there. They got to get engaged. They have to. I don't think Patty had enough puck possession. He knows that. I even said hey to him after the game, and he was just beelining out of there like, okay, like give me the hell out of here. And I don't blame him. He was pissed. You think about that. Think about the pressure on him today or yesterday. Oh, I mean, God, you know, just – You don't really, you know, I can only imagine what his phone looked like throughout the last couple of days and just things like that. And, you know, now you know how to block it out, but, you know, that would have been a pretty cool time for him. No, it doesn't matter because you can go win up there and bring it back and everybody's going to just be waiting for the – like, it's going to be that special. But just to miss out on an opportunity at home, I mean, that was tough. But that's just the way it goes. That's hockey. That's the Blues. That's just the way it's never that easy. It might be a storybook ending, but it's never the way you think it's going to be. And I'm telling you, man, they're going to go up there and they're going to win a dirty, dirty Doug road win.
A dirty, dirty Doug road win.
You know, I don't know. It just came out.
I like it, though.
I think we'd get a 4-day weekend if that happens because they'd win Wednesday. Everybody would party. Thursday, the Blues would come back and there'd be a big greet at the airport. And then Friday, there'd probably be a parade. And
I think
then you
the parade
get the
would be Saturday,
off.
According to my sources.
I don't know.
I'm just telling you.
It smells like a 4-day weekend.
Yeah, 4-day weekend. Damn right it is. I mean, I'm going to get
it. Might be on a 4-month weekend if they get it done on Wednesday. Yeah, I'm optimistic as well. Let me ask you this part of it because this is, I don't know. I'm always on edge with when it comes to emotions with the Blues, because I know, especially for the older fans we talked about in the 7 o'clock hour, but also the alumni and just how special the alumni are with the relationship between the organization and the group, but also the city and the group. And they showed a shot of you guys, Cam, up on the Jumbotron and saw all these guys. And I'm like, man, look at all these guys back here, all these, you know, certainly some stars, but many guys who people probably wouldn't even recognize now, but then they hear the name and they go, oh, yeah, you know, all back there. What was it like for you guys yesterday? And I'm not just talking about the 3 hours of the game, but the entire day.
Oh, well, you know, I of course I love Sunday games. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have much to do. It's a kind of low key day. It's a lot of build up. But Kate and I got there really early. We cruised around and just kind of like, took everything in. I mean, it was just, it's a special moment. Walked by the fans, said hey to everybody, did what we had to do, went up to the alumni box early, and the first guy that went in there, I'm looking at him like, all right, who is that? You know, I'm like, and he comes over, I go, what's up, buddy? And he looks at me, he goes, Craig Janney. I'm like, oh, snap. I'm like, God, I remember watching you as a kid, man. Like, you were awesome. And, you know, going back and forth, like I'm such a nerd, eh? Like, I'm like a child again talking to these guys. But, you know, I haven't seen him in a long time. I don't think I've ever met him, to be honest with you. And for him to come out there and just, you know, just talk about different things, it's cool. Because I go to everybody, and I kind of just, like, you know, shoot the breeze with everybody. And everybody has something different to say about each situation. You know what I mean? It's just a different thought from all these guys that played so many games and been through so many different situations. And I love just, like, brainstorming with them. Chris McAlpine was up there. The dude still looks like he's like 29 years old. I'm like, holy cow, man, you don't age. Some guys age, some guys don't. It's really bizarre. But
who's aging poorly?
Yeah, give us like the top five people aging poorly.
Well, Losey, of course.
Reed Lowe?
You can put me on the spot here. But you know what I mean. If I can't recognize you, you're not aging great.
Oh, wow.
I walked in there. Yep. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know you. The dude's jacked as all hell. He was a great player, by the way. Who's this you're talking about?
Who you're talking about there?
Chris McAlpine. Remember, he played here. He's a defenseman. He was real physical. He didn't play here too long. But I remember watching. I think he wore like 19 and he played D. You know. Anyway, he was talking to me. He played for the Devils. He won a championship with the Devils. And he said, Scottie Stevens told him one time that this was the hidden St. Louis was the hidden gem of the NHL as far as a fan base is concerned, and you know how they treat you here and things like that. And I thought that was pretty interesting coming from Scottie Stevens. So, you know, it was cool to meet to be around all the guys. But as the game went on, you know, it started to get quiet, a little quiet. You know, guys were just like, whew. So I mean, the whole building deflated. Because everybody was just wanted that, you know, that big boost of energy, and it just didn't happen.
No, it sure didn't. Can you go to Boston maybe and pump some energy into the room? Can you do that for the city? Can you go and just kind of make your presence felt and peacock around a little bit and get everybody jacked up, ready to play?
Yeah, well, I'm going to bring my cat up there now. Old boy can bring a chinchilla, and then we can do a little dance off for the boys.
Ooh, nice. Like animal play. That's hot. I like furries.
That'd be cute. That would be cute.
Are you going? Are you going to the game, Cam?
Yeah. I'm going up there with Frank and Renee Knott. So, hey, man, it's do or die now. You go up there and you win a game. And I know it's just cliche, but that's just what it is. The guys are going. That's what's going to be fine. They're gonna be like, okay, all right, well, it didn't happen. Oh, let's push it aside. Let's go. What do we got here? Oh, a road win. Yeah, okay, we're good at those. Let's go up there and do it.
Will a lot of alumni be going in addition to yourself and your broadcast responsibilities?
I think, you know, probably Jax, I would say, and Walt and Holly would probably all go up there. Bobby Plager, I'm sure the big boys will jump on the jet or whatever the case is. I mean, they're going to probably fly a bunch of people up. I mean, you know, you might not get back here in 50 years. You don't know, so you want to take advantage of the moment as much as possible. So I'm sure all the heavy hitters will be up there. So if they go up there and they do it, I mean, I'm having fun. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But it could be a long night one way or the other. So we'll see, guys. I know it's deflating, but game seven, like, think about it. Like, think of all the bars that are going to be packed and making money off this. Like, I'm trying to be positive here because if you think about it, we have a great chance to win the hockey game up there. We have a great chance.
Yeah, I agree. I last night, too, for Charles Glenn, that was kind of a neat thing when he sang for the last time. People got a kick out of that.
Yeah, he killed that.
He did great. He was a little extra on all the notes, I guess. You know what I mean? But he was singing all day, too. It's wear you out.
I love the video. I mean, I know it was a playoff of what they ran in games 3 and 4, but Bobby Plager finishing it off, hey, buddy, let's make history. Taking it from Chase's line against the Jets. Hey, buddy, we're here. And
he was in panic mode all night last night.
Yeah, what was he doing?
He knows how to hide his emotional. Like he does. He always has a smile on his face. So like, no matter what, like he's pacing back. I always run out there like, Bobby, what's up? You all right? You know, yeah, he's good, man. We're all good. We're, you know, but you could tell he's just an emotional roller coaster. But anytime anybody goes up to him, he always has a smile on his face. Unless I piss him off and he tells me to get out of his face. But other than that, he's always just approachable everywhere he goes, and he's just the absolute best. And he'll be up in Boston, that's for damn sure.
Oh, I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
If they should
are
win.
Are you going, Doug?
I don't believe so.
Oh. Maybe I was going to say maybe we could room together or something.
Daddy Padre roomed
with
you?
Can I give Cam text of the day even though he just said that?
Did he? Why would you room with Daddy Padre?
Because we went down to fantasy camp, it's like we're in our entry level contracts again, and we can't have our own room. So we just kind of went back in time, and you know, it felt like we were playing on entry level contracts, playing in this tournament. He dominated, I dominated.
Yeah, Doug, if you had a chance to room with Patrick Waugh or Dominic Hasek, would you room with Marty?
Not really.
Yeah, Brodeur.
I want my own suite.
Yeah, but you could room with some of the best goalies in the history of the game. That's what Cam chose to do.
Okay.
That's what I did.
Well, Daddy Padre is not one of the best goalies in the game. He's not a goalie in the game. He plays Huff and Puff at Brentwood.
Game 7 up in Boston.
I don't think he is.
God, can you imagine that?
On Twitter. Could you imagine that? Lord.
Oh, my. Speaking of netminders, what did you think of Binnington last night?
You know, the first goal, he hit it go side to side. I mean, you know, one time, and there, it's a bad angle, one timer, but it's Brad Marchand. He's a lefty from that angle. Like, you know, like that's a good shot. That's his bread and butter right there. Then that's the crappy dump and goal. It bounced, but save that. Okay. Save that. And then the Sammy Blay turnover behind the net, I kick it out front. He has no chance on that. Mm. So could he be better? Yeah. Could everybody be better? Yeah. We were a little timid. I liked our forecheck. Like, David Perron had a good game. How's that? David Perron was getting guys' faces. He was playing physical. He had some chances. I just think after that first penalty by Schenner, I think guys kind of just they toned down the hits. I mean, usually we're boom, 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 turnover, boom, 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 turnover, shot on goal. We just weren't there. We just weren't there. And the guys know it. That's the thing. They all know it.
But it's hard. It's got to be hard to turn it on and off as much as you want to. You're still another team fighting hard against you to make sure you can't
I'm
do what you
want. I'm always on, Dougie. You know that, dude.
Were you?
You know.
He is.
I can count.
Always. Yeah. Always. No, it is, Doug. It's at this time, though, you can't overthink things. And I think they were. And it's just been such a bizarre playoffs as a whole anyway with the calls. It does get you. It probably sits in the back of your head. But they just got to they got to come out in Game 7 and just don't worry about a damn thing. Don't worry about the pressure from the fans now. Your family watching. Oh, who got to passes for afterwards? What are we going to do? I mean, now it's just like, okay, whatever. This is now it's another game. I think the build-up last game was so much thinking ahead probably. I was thinking about the Stanley Cup the whole day. And, yeah, I'm not playing, but it's just hard not to overthink a game like that. Where when you go up to Boston, it's like, okay, another road game. Stay in a hotel, get up, go to the rink, let's go. Yeah, maybe a little bit more cameras. Maybe a couple different interviews, but this is just a road game. Let's go play. Let's just go play. It's such a different mindset, and it benefits the Blues.
Yeah, I wonder if that got them in Game 3, too, where they had the first, you know, Stanley Cup final game here in 49 years, and they didn't perform well at all in that game either.
Terrible. That was a terrible game. And they still, a couple bounces away to kind of turn the tide in that game, too. I mean, it's not, they're not getting blown out. They're just not doing what they're supposed to do for enough of it, you know. I'm trying to be as simple as possible. Like, you know, we know when they're on, and they were with spurts, and like, yeah, cool, cool. You couldn't find that one to get past Tuukka off the bat. Like, if they would have scored when Tuukka was making some big, big-time saves, then the moment, here comes momentum. Momentum is gigantic in hockey games. Now, from game to game, I don't think it shows you so far with even this series. Momentum doesn't carry over between games. Each game, it's this new element, but each shift isn't. In a game, in game, momentum is so crucial, and we couldn't find that huge again, that big burst of energy from the fans because we couldn't get one past Tuukka Rask, and they just kind of smothered us and got that second goal, and then it was all over from there.
Cam Jansen giving us his perspective on last night's Game 6 and what is to come Game 7 in 2 days in Boston.
Exciting. It's exciting, though. Like I know it's deflating today, but think about it. Wednesday night, a Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals against an original 6 team. Holy cow. Have fun. Enjoy yourselves. Let's build this thing up. And I'm telling you guys, the Blues are going to go out there and win a dirty road game. Mark my words on that.
Really?
I don't care. I'm confident in it. I honestly... I'm a realist. I'm pretty realistic in what I say. I feel confident with this team going up with Barbie back, rolling 4 lines. You'll see, guys.
Yeah, I really, Cam, I'm right there with you. I really, truly am. So we're both out there in saying it, and we'll get lit up if they lose because people just be angry and firing bullets in every direction.
But that's, I don't bring it on.
Usually, I bet the Bruins just for my emotional risk management, but in this case, I'm tempted to bet the Blues because I would imagine they'll be like plus 140. So I don't know. I really do feel confident because for the most part in this series, at even strength, the Blues have been the better team, and I think you're going to see a lot of even strength for those 60 minutes on Wednesday night.
You're absolutely right. So chirp me all you want. Bring it on.
Doug, chirp him. Doug, chirp him.
I'm not going to chirp him.
I'll take it like a man.
Your main point, though, this morning, your main point was, with the exception of Chris McAlpine, the Blues alumni are aging poorly. That's what I took from this.
Kind of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, that's our headline now.
Especially after last night, we all aged about 15 years. So now the boys look good. The boys look good. I'm surfing Lowe's. He's kind of goofy looking anyway, but the boys all look good. Especially that Chris McCoughlin, though. Woo!
Wow.
Okay.
My God. He's jacked up.
Boy, Doug, it sounds like Cam likes McAlpine, like our audience likes Patrick Sharp.
Yes.
Our audience
they
really
do like Sharpie, don't they?
Yeah, they really, really do. What, did you guys do anything after the game? I'm curious how you handled that.
Oh, yeah. I went home and cried.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good.
No,
good,
we didn't do a damn thing. Timmy, kidding me? I got out of there like, you know, Hockey Bob picked me up, Kate and I. You eat chirp him all you want. Like, he's always on. I'm like, hey, I'm coming out now. I'm walking through the back. Meet me right there. Blah, blah, blah. He's there. Boom, just like that.
So Dougie's a great Uber driver.
Hockey Bob is your personal valet?
Yes, he is.
Isn't really? He an Uber driver?
He's an Uber driver.
Yeah.
Drives all damn day.
Really?
You know, look, he has a turn-off button, dude. I just press it like, I'm sick of hearing you. Click. And he doesn't talk anymore.
Huh. Really? It's
simple.
Right. I didn't know it was that easy to get a valet driver.
But sometimes I feel like, you know what? He wants to ask me questions about hockey. This is Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, his brain's going 100 miles an hour. I'll turn it on. Click. What do you want, Hockey Boss? Hey, what about that four-check team? Blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, no, back off.
That wraps it up.
Had enough of it. Yeah.
So you ended. All right, man. Well, I'm happy all that right. You'll be there on Wednesday and skating around with Chalice in Boston. I think a lot of people feel like that would be some poetic justice. So hopefully that is what we will be witnessing here in less than 72 hours. The great Cam Jansen with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Thank you, Cam.
See you, dudes.
All right, Cam.
Cam Jansen, who likes Chris McAlpine quite a bit. Our audience likes Patrick Sharp quite a bit.
They've made that very clear, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have.
Both the audience and Cam. It's not, it's not usually what you hear from the
group of Blues men listening to Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah, usually they talk about the game and what they had to eat and things like that. Yeah, he seems smitten with Mr. McAlpine.
I just got this. Bruins are favored by Bruins are minus 170. I got to go look and see what I got here, which means the Blues would probably be plus 145 or 50. For those of you interested in, I mean, at this point, there's, what's the upside in doing that? But if you really believe it, and I really do, Blues are plus 140. The book I'm looking at is Bruins are minus 160, Blues are plus 140. So do with that what you want. I would imagine that'll move. And I don't know if I said this on the air, Iggy, or if I said it when we were off the air, but that was minus 105. I think it was we were off the air before the show.
No, I think you said it on the air.
Oh, did I? Who knows? But both were minus 105 last night.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that.
I was big time surprised at it. Yeah. What were you about to say, baby? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, you probably didn't see it because you were at the game. But the pregame show, and I'm surprised they let it up there as much as they did. Behind there, they had all the Blues fans, and there was a guy with a mohawk with no shirt on somebody's shoulders holding a sign that said, Pierre Maguire, peace sitting down.
Huh.
And that thing was up there for a good 45 minutes. Every time they went back, you could see the sign. Normally, they'll cut away from that and have somebody go out and get rid of it. But I thought that was kind of childish and moronic.
Yeah.
You talking about the show?
No, just the guy doing that. And then the kid, the little 10-year-old kid with his dad flipping off a Bruin player and the dad laughing.
You want to hold him accountable?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Classless.
I don't have a kid, so I'm not for sure. I didn't take so much offense to that.
I don't even know what you boys are talking about
right
now.
There's a little kid in the on the glass flipping off a Bruin player next to his dad, I do believe. There's some screenshots. I'm sure it's on the fan page, but, I don't know. It's.
I had with it's a weird spot. So this gentleman in front of me, he was standing up and he goes, do you mind if I stand up? I said, hey, brother, I said, it's game 6 of the Stanley Cup final and the Blues have a chance to win the cup. This was before the game even started. And I said, you stand up all you want, enjoy it. You never have to worry about it. I want you to never think twice about it. Cause that's 100% how I felt. And unfortunately, within the first 10 minutes, I realized it's not going to be like a case of like standing up for sustained periods of time where then I could stand up as well. And then I was wearing, was I wearing my 6-inch lifts?
I don't
last
know
night?
What you were wearing.
6-inch lifts. I was wearing my 6-inch lifts. And then I would be able to see, and sometimes Anna Marie will hold me up and then I can see over him.
She'll pick you up by the waist so you can see a little bit better?
Yeah, or I have a little leash that I wear, like Chuck Rhodes. And right? And so I'd be able to see, but he would stand up like sporadically, like a whack-a-mole, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just
and so then it was, I didn't know how to handle it. And so that went on. And then I'm like, I feel bad now because now I become standing guy. Mm. And so then the people behind me, and so like first period, I mean within the first 5 minutes of the game, some guy got, because people were banty AF, and some guy screams at him, "Hey, sit the F down." Oh. And I didn't realize that he was intoxicated because by the third period, he could not stand anymore like he was in the first two periods. And then these two guys behind me, listeners of the show, or at least one of them was, I believe both of them were, and I said, "Guys," and was like during a stoppage, I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "But I can't." And God bless Anna Marie. She goes, "I'll switch spots with you." I said, "No." I said, "Woman," because I'm, again, raised right.
And this is the one picking you up so you could see.
Right. Exactly right. By the leash, Chuck Rhodes. And I said, we'll navigate through it. I said to the boys behind me, I said, "Hey, boys," I said, "I'm sorry. I wouldn't stand normally. But the guy in front of me," he goes, "Oh, we see him. First time ever being at a hockey game, wanting to take pic." And he was. He was taking pictures of everything, Snapchatting everything. And these guys were banty. So then it's the second intermission, and I start talking with these boys. And I said, I'm legitimately sorry about this. I said, at the same time, I don't know what else my option is outside of just to gaze into his ass. And I was hoping to do that at the celebration.
After the game.
Right. And you had the same thought.
No.
So I said to the guys, and they said, this guy. And I said, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to have to keep doing it. And they said, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. And the guy goes, it's funny. I'm the one who took the video of the fight in Boston. And I go, you were at the game in game five at the Garden? And he goes, yeah. And that video that went viral of the Boston fans beating the hell out of him, the guy who was sitting behind me is a Blues fan, is the one who took the video. And he goes, you didn't see it on Twitter. He said, but the whole thing started because there were guys who just kept standing the entire game, and some people started going after him. And then they like told them to piss off. And that's when, if you look at the video, the bald guy came down and started screaming at him, and then one of the standers threw his beer. You can see, he goes, watch right here, 1, 2, 3. You'll see the beer. The beer comes flying at the bald guy, and then he just jumps him. And then he tried to execute a suplex in the concrete, and all hell breaks loose. And we talked about that video on Friday and said the security, remember that Plowhawk? Like there was one security guard for that entire upper bowl area at the Garden. And he goes, I feel like that might happen here. So I don't know when it was. It wasn't after the Owen Nolan Turek goal, maybe the third goal. And one of the people sitting next to me starts screaming at him because he was standing up during that. And obviously she's not happy because, you know, the Blues are down 3-0. It's a mess. And then he turns around and he's all effed up. He goes, you stand up. You stand up. It's a Stanley Cup game. You stand up. And so I'm like, oh, crap, here it goes. It's about to go down. And fortunately, nothing came to pass. Because I was thinking, this is going to be a whole thing. Plowhawk, what's going on?
I worry about this city's mood if we do end up losing. I think we're not going to realize how great of a run this was. And I know you can continuously say last in January to where you're at now, but losing in a game 7 where you could clinch it at home in a game 6, and then you look at on the horizon, there's no football team, so there's no draft. You have a baseball team under 500 that is willing probably now to think about going into sell mode.
Yeah, we get to have this discussion for the fourth straight summer.
Just clinging on to this Blues run, which has been unbelievable for 2 months, but once this ends, and if it doesn't end with a cup, and you realize how long this summer going to be and how much it took to get to where we're at now.
Fortunately, Missouri's football season won't count, so you have that to look forward to.
Well, I think that's
I guess we could break
change.
Down, maybe do like a best fries thing.
We've done that for about 10 years.
Cut.
So it's going to, I mean, if it ends with a cup, absolutely we're going to be thrilled, but if you get this far and don't win it, I think this city is going to be in a bad mood and a bad place for a while. It'll be a tough one to get over for sure.
Yeah, there's a wide delta on the outcome of what takes place. I mean, I'll like I said already, and it's part of being a fan, like I said, it's the whatever the hell it is. Was it the five stages of grief? What are the thing? Four stages of grief, six stages, nurse, how many stages?
There's a lot of stages.
And so it's like denial and then
anger.
Faith, character, core values, and team
there
effort.
It is. Thank you, Paul. That's exactly colors. What it is right there. So by Wednesday, people will, as a Missouri fan, I watch this play out like every Saturday. So I see it by the next Saturday, it's like, yeah, we're at Alabama. We're 29-point underdogs, but I really like our running game. And like con themselves into thinking. So by Wednesday, that will be where most fans are. That's a fan base. That's not unique to the Blues. I actually think they are going to win. I truly think that. But I wanted to see it at home so badly, and I can't help. And listen, I know that the Cubs won in Cleveland, and the Penguins didn't win a cup at home until they beat the. Who'd they beat? Was it the Sharks? I don't know. But whatever. Just for the city and for that was what I really wanted to see. It doesn't make it like, oh, well, I'm not excited if they win on the road. And I realize especially doing it in Boston would be especially great. But for it to go down that way, and just like one of the things that you want to experience is the energy, you know? And so I think for most people, if you were lucky enough to go to every single Blues home game this year, the best one was probably, I think, Game 7 against the Stars because of the energy.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, or you would say Game 4 against the Bruins. It's one of the two. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not. It's not. It doesn't matter. It's all subjective, and it also depends people who you're with. I mean, I was with my dad and my wife for Game 6 against the Sharks, and they go to the Stanley Cup final. I don't know, but it's about energy, and they're just. The outset, there was energy last night, but it was sucked out of the building before Marchand even scored. When O'Reilly's puck sailed over the glass, people knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. And then from that point on, holes were tight, bro. Holes were tight, bro.
I don't know about that. I don't know that it changed the diameter.
Plow off, holes were tight.
They were. And if the Blues aren't willing to hit in Game 7, it's already over. I mean, that game.
Oh, they'll be hitting, boys.
You have to. I'm not saying headhunting or any illegal hits or anything like that, but you have got to not care about any suspension coming down in the next next regular season. You have to go back to what has worked. And who cares what other fans think about your play? This is what had gotten you this far, and you can't play as passive as they did last night. I couldn't believe. I mean, the forechecking, the pinching, there was nothing. There was no physical contact by either team, but the Bruins benefit, you know, from not being a physical. The Blues need to have that physicality to keep the to keep the puck in the Blues zone. If you don't do that, it's already over. Tuukka Rask is unbelievable.
I would be curious about this statistic. Gangster Pete, Plowhawk, Iggy, intern Brad. When is the last time a team had a 3-2 lead with a chance to hoist the chalice at home, lost that game 6, and then went on the road and won? If I'm not mistaken, so when the last game 7 was 2011.
Did the Bruins do that?
And it was the
that?
Bruins, but I thought that was against the Canucks. I thought the Bruins were down 3-2 against the Canucks and came back and won 2. So, I mean,
it's impossible to know. You can't look that kind of stuff up.
That's what I was saying.
This is a little more difficult on the fly, but I will do my best to look up. I'm looking up the Bruins postseason history to see. I thought they were the last ones.
What was sucked out faster, the energy in the building last eve or the Cracker Barrel prairie dog gas from Jesus, my top man. Darnell's colon hole?
No. No, no, no. We don't need to mention colon holes.
Or Darnell.
Yeah, leave Darnell out of this. I did see the stat yesterday that said of teams that are leading 3-2 and playing game 6 on their home ice, they had won 32 out of 40 of those games.
Are you serious?
In finals history, yeah. You know.
Ah!
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, no. For example, and the reason I ask, it doesn't matter, but when the Cardinals were up 3-1 on the Giants in 2012 and they lost that game, I know Barry Zito games, more people remember it as. I know a lot of holes got tight around here.
It doesn't affect diameters of the hole.
Cut that off. So I just am curious what, and maybe there is, it's like, yeah, the 06 Hurricanes, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
No, I don't either. It's fun to know. It doesn't matter. But
of course it doesn't matter, but I'm just curious on that. Guys, I'm flying to St. Louis to tear the arch down, win or lose. I'm marching it to Harpo's, cutting it up and giving it out to patrons as a sous-vide. Do you like that? Not souvenir sous-vide?
I don't like it.
To honor this year's historic run, Blues in seven. That's from recaps. The Blues won Game 6 at home and Game 7 at Vancouver in 2011. Yeah, so what I'm asking is, when a team could have won the Cup in Game 6 at home, lost, but then went on the road and won, when is the last time that happened? Yeah, so the Bruins were down 3-2. They evened it at home, which is what the Blues did in the Monday Night Miracle, but then the Blues lost in Game 7 in Calgary. In this case, the Bruins went to Vancouver and won.
Yeah. Mm. Well.
Well?
Well. There you go again. I went into Ronald Reagan there.
Right.
It's just fun to say, well, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
That's really good. I like it. Well, hey, the Post, the official cheesesteak of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Bud Light's the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And Design Air Heating and Cooling is official HVAC of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. So think about that. Think about Design Air Heating and Cooling. Boy, there were Design Air shirts. You see a lot of Design Air shirts at the St. Gabriel School Picnic, Plowhawk? They were everywhere.
They were?
Oh, I saw kids wearing them at the Chuckaluck stand.
Yep. See, there you go.
Design Air.
Yeah, there's a couple kids who are professional Chuckaluck players in St. Gabriel's.
I don't even know
what
Chuckaluck
is. I think they were a little mad that I thought their big thrill was to spin the wheel.
Really?
You know, I kind of got in there, peacocked around, and didn't even ask if they cared, just, you know.
You started spinning the wheel?
Sure way.
You started spinning the Chuckaluck wheel at St. Gabriel's School Picnic?
I made sure to ask if it was okay if I could.
What are you trying to win?
I didn't gamble. I just won by the fellowship of the people around me.
Okay.
It was a great atmosphere.
Well, without Design Air Heating and Cooling, that's not possible. They're online at designairservice.com. Doug's a client. I'm a client. Why don't you become a client as well? My parents, my brother, they're clients. Design Air Heating and Cooling, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. Designairservice.com. They are the number one train dealer in the Midwest. Forecast is nice this week. I jinx it. But it's like highs in the high 70s.
Really?
Look at this in mid-June.
As long as it just stops raining for a little while.
Proved. But when it does get hot, and you know it's coming, Design Air Heating and Cooling, make sure you're taken care of now before it's too late. Design Air Heating and Cooling, online at Design Air Service. Make sure that air conditioning is firing on all cylinders. DesignAirService.com. Yeah, Daddy Padre, I'm up hard against a hard 9:15 break for 8 o'clock hour.
I know.
What is it, Padre?
Basically, I was just talking to Cam, but like, I don't know. Last night was just, you guys were there, obviously. I just felt like the intensity right off the hop. It was a little timid. And they just, I'll never question their effort. It's
Hello, Padre.
Iggy, you get him?
Hello, Padre.
Did you snipe him?
Daddy.
You hear me?
Now we hear you. Yeah.
You guys hear me?
Yes, yeah, we hear you.
I didn't feel like the game was game six, you know, Stanley Cup's in the building. It felt like almost like a Tuesday. Like the crowd, yeah. But the players, it just didn't seem like they had the intensity level that you know, it's right there and they're going to run somebody through a wall. Because, I mean, like Tim said earlier, I mean, the hits, that's alarming. I mean, 29 hits. You know, I'm not sitting here. I'm not some kind of like meathead where it's like all I want to see is hits. But I mean, that's our game. Get it in deep, crush the D, get it back to the point, and funnel pucks to the net. And I don't know. It's weird. It's like you see it in one game, and then I just don't know how in the next game you just deviate from it so much. And I don't know. It's just alarming, I guess. And I mean, Binnington couldn't steal two in a row, obviously. So it's like you're asking a lot out of that. So hopefully he can steal seven. I mean, I don't know. What did you guys think? That was the same kind of thing with the intensity. I mean, you were in the building. I just feel like the players didn't seem like it was, you know, the same, you know, level of just like fight, I guess.
I felt like the 5-on-3 was just a disaster. When O'Reilly flicked the puck over the glass, was a disaster. The chances of them not keeping ball, especially there was still more than a minute left in the first power play. That's just going to be brutal to withstand. And so
like game three.
So then you have that happen, and you're just going, oh God, now you got the anticipation of the inevitable. Marchand scores. And then the building just lost its intensity. And if O'Reilly were able to score on that shorthanded attempt, that would mean it's a different world, even if Boston does score. But that building never – I don't even know when the building was at its loudest last night. You can say when O'Reilly got the ruling from Toronto that it was 3-1, but I don't know. It might have been when the Blues took the ice or Charles Glenn finished off his last national anthem. I mean, it was – for what was on the line, it was. There's just no way to understate the disappointment. And I know by, you know, Wednesday people will be moving on and all that, but, you know, to have the Stanley Cup in the building in St. Louis with not only that crowd but the crowd outside and the anticipation throughout the region, as far as expectation and anticipation and then delivery. If, Doug, we're talking about an X line on a graph and a Y line on a graph, okay, there couldn't be a bigger gap. It was it's super disappointing. But again, I think they're going to win on Wednesday. And maybe I'm just, maybe that's part of my stage of grief is denial. But I really do think they're going to win on Wednesday. Maybe they just get their asses beat on Wednesday and you go, and then we enter like a winter of discontent in June. But that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see on Wednesday. It's just, yeah, it's just depressing after that. I mean, I don't know. So much buildup, but I'll let you boys go. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, Daddy Padre's down.
All right, fine, boy, he is. Yeah, why don't you try to steal a game for your lame Brentwood Huff and Puff team?
That's how you think he can pick himself up by the bootstraps?
Yeah, try to steal one.
By shutting out a floor hockey team of a few 40-year-olds.
Sometimes some of the guys have got to go, and they don't even hang around for the end of the game. The other team's, you know, three or four guys shorthanded. He might steal a game that way.
Your thoughts are welcome. Email in for the Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.